It is about time, guys. The Batman, Matt Reeves, the Batman is finally here. Ooh. And the burning question on everyone's mind is, how does this flick compare to the Dark Knight trilogy, to Tim Burton's Batman? And of course, Robert Pattinson, does he give justice to the role of the Dark Knight, of the what do they call him? The fear inducer?
Oh, vengeance.
Vengeance, yes. So stick around and find out what we think coming up. The Real Screeners are back, Lenny and Beto, and this time we have a special guest, Troy Segner, who is the owner of Zia Comics here in Las Cruces, and where we're filming, actually. Yeah, we're here at Zia Comics, great place, and he is also the operator of El Paso Comic-Con, and don't forget to buy your tickets to El Paso Comic-Con coming April the 22nd through the 24th. Yes.
All right, El Paso Welcome Convention Center.
Yes, sir. Downtown.
Yeah. Thanks for being on our show, Troy.
Hey, thanks for inviting me.
Yeah. You know, when Beto and I were talking about this review, we were like, you know, we really got to get someone in here who knows their Batman stuff, you know? So you guys just don't hear us, you know, analyzing it like English teachers and stuff. So we decided, hey, you know what? Troy Segner, he knows his comic book stuff. I'm sure he knows his Batman. So we're very delighted to have him on our show today. And so, yeah, let's just jump right into it, guys. So with the Batman, what you have here is, you know, I want to say Robert Pattinson, but Bruce Wayne has been Batman for about 2 years now. He's
still a novice,
veteran,
right?
Yeah, but mm-hmm. He's still a greenhorn. He's still learning his way around the ropes, trying to control himself, all that kind of stuff. And of course, now the villain enters the picture here. It's the Riddler, you know, played by Paul Dano or Dano. Plays it very well, I might add. And along the way, he runs into Catwoman.
Kravitz, Catwoman.
Yeah, he's trying to find out, basically, what does the Riddler want, and where can we find him? Of course, you know, if you've seen any Batman movies, you've seen the Riddler, and of course, it's a maze. And can Bruce Wayne, this young Batman, really figure it out?
Yeah, and he's portrayed as a serial killer this time around and leaves riddles directly addressed to the Batman. So, of course, it's up to Batman and Commissioner Gordon. They team up and they're detectives and they're trying to figure out how they can find this guy. So yeah.
So what do you think of this movie? It's different, right?
Yeah, it's year two. It's kind of based on the Batman year one, but the year two, like you said, you get to see him getting his feet wet. I like it. It was a lot more showing his detective and reasoning side rather than just, you know, kicking everybody's butt.
He actually uses his brain.
Yeah,
it's a crime drama.
It is really, like he says, it's a crime drama. He's solving the Riddler's riddle. And I like the fact that they made the Riddler formidable instead of a joke.
Like Jim Carrey.
Yeah. You know, that works in comic books a little bit, but, you know, in real life, nobody believes people are like that. But this Riddler dude, he's verifiably scary.
Yeah. He's, yes.
I like that they made him.
It makes the movie disturbing and eerie and creepy, right? For sure.
Yes.
I like the fact that they presented him in a way to where he felt like he was doing something good.
Yes.
Right? But at the same time, he's crazy.
Yeah, like many villains, right? Right. They think that they're, you know, like Thanos, they think like they're doing something good, but ultimately not.
It's all perspective, yeah.
Yeah, but I couldn't agree more. I felt like this Riddler is a plausible Riddler. Of course, we remember the Jim Carrey Riddler. A lot funnier, a lot more tongue-in-cheek,
you know? As blind as a bat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But in this movie, we have a disturbing villain in the Riddler, for sure.
And it's a darker Batman, for sure. It's not rated R, it's PG-13, but it is...
What do you guys think about that, by the way?
A darker Batman.
Did it need to be rated R, in your opinion, or did you find it
that... It was kind of borderline there for violence. That'd be the only thing I would consider really needing an R for.
Yeah, I felt like it got the job done. Like, it was disturbing enough, violent enough.
You know, there was a time where I thought it should have been rated R, but then you have to remember that Batman apparently doesn't kill, right?
Sure.
Tries not to.
Well, he beats the crap out of people in this movie, which I actually really liked.
He permanently maimed you.
You know what, guys? I'm just going to go out and say it. I loved this movie.
Yes.
I really enjoyed it. I liked how they portrayed Batman in this movie, unlike the Batman in the other Batman movies, in that he is not the charismatic Bruce Wayne. He is constantly... wounded, in pain, brooding, growing up, conflicted, trying to figure it out still. And I really liked how they portrayed him, you know, coming out of the darkness and you listen to his footsteps, you know, or coming out of the fire. And he really feels like fear.
It was almost like the Jaws music, those his footsteps. It was like, you know, you knew what was coming.
Yeah.
Suspense.
Yeah.
A movie that builds suspense. It. Wow. What a throwback.
Yeah. Yes. I really liked
what
that.
I liked was, did you guys notice, I think this is the first time they ever shown Batman with the black grease paint on his face.
Oh, okay.
And when he takes off his mask, he's actually dirty and grimy and doesn't take it off and perfectly coiffed hair. And
Right. It's more realistic.
Yeah. I really like that part of it.
Yeah. I like that when he was fighting, they would show how he was breathing heavily, you mm-hmm. know, but also trying
and
to
he
control
struggled
himself.
In the fight sequences, you know, which is cool because he's not totally in control all the mm-hmm. time. And so it shows that he's, you know, weak sometimes, and I thought that was cool too. It's a love letter to noir. The shots, the techniques, you know, like the point of view shots, like the detective shots, him flying, and they had many innovative, like, cool, bleak sequences, very atmospheric, the smoke and everything. I just felt immersed the entire time.
A lot of the techniques were very indie-esque, right?
Yeah.
As far as like the tracking shots.
Yes.
You know, like you said, some of the camera angles and the close-ups. And of course, you know, the music, for example, we didn't mention the music. The score was excellent. The soundtrack really went with the morose tone they were going for.
Michael Giacchino is the composer, and he's done some Pixar movies. He did the score for No Way Home, by the way, for Spider-Man, which I didn't know. So he has a promising career because I kept humming the music after the movie. You know, like it just stuck in my mind. And that's a testament to the score because with Danny Elfman and Hans Zimmer, right, mm-hmm. producing the scores previously, I was like, wow, this is
good
stuff.
How can that be topped, right?
Yeah, how can that be topped?
Troy, so I want to ask you, you know, what did you think of the acting? I mean, obviously, a lot of people remember Robert Pattinson for Twilight, but he's done a lot of things since then.
That there was such a star-studded cast. I mean, Jeffrey Wright
is
an amazing actor, and I think he got kind of overlooked. Andy Serkis. Yeah, not doing, you know, stop-motion Andy Serkis, his actual self. Colin Farrell.
Yeah,
unrecognizable as the...
Yeah, I mean, if you wanted somebody to look like that, why didn't you get somebody to look like that? But after I watched him do the part, man, he really... I did not think Colin Farrell when I saw that, and I'm thinking every Absolutely. Woman in the world is going to look that and say, that. Nah, that's not Colin Farrell. Yeah. I mean, you had Zoe Kravitz. I mean, there were just... Peter Skarsgård. There were just so many big names...
Yes, John Turturro.
You know, John Turturro he was Falcone, right?
Yeah.
It's just every time you start to forget about him, he pops up in another movie. You
know? I know, always in a supporting role, but always playing that kind of like offbeat character, you know? Like,
yeah, well, this one, he wasn't a funny comedic character. Carmine Falcone is for real gangster, straight up, so.
And you brought something up that's really good about this movie also, is that its tone is not that comical compared to other Batman movies. It's always very serious, very dark.
Kind of had to be.
Yeah.
I don't think I laughed once. Now that you mentioned that, it was pretty serious. I was focused on trying to solve the puzzles, too, that the Riddler threw at him.
Yes.
And there was a couple times they caught me with a curveball, and I was like, oh, I didn't see that coming.
I can't say it. That's a spoiler. Yeah. I was right about to say one.
Yeah, but they're, you know, keep your eyes open on those clues, man, because if you're paying attention, you can get it. But they're just, it was such a good crime movie that just happened to have Batman in it.
What did you like specifically about Pattinson's portrayal of Bruce Wayne and Batman?
You know, I had my doubts when they first cast him because I was used to Harry Potter / you know, sparkly vampire Robert Pattinson.
But then he did he did The Lighthouse, he did some good stuff. Yeah.
So, you know, I was kind of, it's the same thing when Michael Keaton played Batman in the beginning. You know, he came from comedy and everybody's like, I don't know. But
I was.
Yeah, they pulled it. I think Robert Pattinson pulled off that kind of emo brooding vibe, even with the look, with the, you know, the stringy hair and the dark eyes. And I think he did a good job. I can't fault him for it.
Okay. And he said very minimal things in dialogue, and so a lot of it was just kind of like the way that he turned his head as Batman, and the way that he looked, or the way that he moved, and he got Batman down really well, I thought. Yeah.
Well, I know I read somewhere when he was auditioning with the suit on, is before he was told he got the part, he snuck in the bathroom to get a selfie of him wearing the costume in case he didn't get the part. He wanted to at least have that picture.
At least, yeah, yeah.
So I mean, like, that's fanboy right there. So that tells you he actually loved the character.
That's
right.
Good perspective.
Yeah.
All right. So obviously we have a tremendous amount of respect and love for this movie, but I don't know. I would say it's not perfect. You know, this is a nice segue into our real ratings here, where we rate movies on a scale of 0 to 5 movie reels. So I'll go ahead and start off, guys. You know, when I walked out of the theater, it didn't feel like a 3-hour movie, and I was very surprised by that. A testament to, you know, the production and the actors and whatnot. Although it was really good and I respected everything for it, I kind of felt like, man, I wanted more Bruce Wayne. I wanted more Bruce Wayne. I wanted a little bit more exploration of that character, because most of this movie is Batman, and I'm sure that's what they're going for. They're not apologetic for it, I'm sure. But still, for me, 4.5 solid reels out of 5. How about you, Beto?
Well, I was honestly transfixed and riveted watching the movie. People have asked me, like, well, did you like it more than The Dark Knight? Did you like it more than Batman Begins? And it's hard for me to say that I liked it more. I think it's unique. I think it's different. I think it's a great detective Batman movie. It reminded me a lot of, like, David Fincher stuff, like Zodiac. I kept thinking a lot of Zodiac and Seven came to mind a lot.
A very adult thriller.
Yeah, and so I really loved the movie. The only thing that bothered me about it was the way that it ended, because I feel like a lot of superhero movies tend to end in this particular way. I can't say any more about that, but
come on, they gotta get you coming back. They gotta make that money.
You know what I mean? Exactly. Like, so many movies end in this way where they introduce something. You know?
The next villain.
The next
big bad.
Exactly. And so For that reason, and for wishing for a more like original ending, I guess I'll go with 4.5
reels.
Wow,
I thought you would give it a 5. You thought it was outstanding.
I thought it was great. I thought it was great. But to get a 5 is a timeless classic.
Yeah, you got to be Spider-Man No Way Home. I get it. I totally get it.
Did I give that movie 5?
No, I'm just kidding. That's what I gave it.
I don't know. I can't remember. But it is excellent. All right. I highly recommend it.
And saving our best for last here, Troy?
You know, I'm good. Here's the reasons why I'm going to rate it high. You had two of the more unused villains, and they used them to great extent. They made them, you know, Penguin and Riddler were verified, and even Falcone were verifiably scary characters, man. You never knew which one was going to be the big bad, you know.
Right.
And
yes.
I love that. I love the fact that they had so many of the other ancillary characters pulled into it. You know, even with Maroni, you know, they mentioned him, the whole thing with him and Falcone and Maroni.
Right.
All these things. And, of course, you know, it's Hollywood, so they're going to set it up for the next movie. And I like they didn't fall back on Batman's tried and true villains that they always bring in.
Right.
I like when they bring these unsung guys in, like with Guardians of the Galaxy. Nobody knew who those guys were before the movie. So now maybe, maybe Riddler. I'm wondering how many people we're going to see cosplaying as Riddler now. It's a very simple costume, and everybody
loves it. Tape around your face.
Yeah. Well, that's just a winter mask, an army winter mask with the field jacket and some glasses. How is that?
Right.
So for that, I'm gonna give it 5 because maybe I'm jaded because lately there haven't been a lot of really, really good movies besides Spider-Man No Way Home. So I don't know if it's just I haven't had a good movie in that long. I actually rated above Nolan's Batman's. Very, very close, but I rated just slightly above.
Wow, yeah.
I understand.
I also like they did not have to rehash the Batman origin story. I don't need to see his parents get shot again in that alley.
Over and over. It was very seamlessly integrated into the story.
They alluded to it, and but they didn't keep showing it over and over. I like that because it, it's almost like year, well, it's year two, but it's showing you his origins.
Can we quickly, just quickly talk about how we all got goosebumps during the Batmobile sequence?
Oh, yes, I did.
You know you did. That car chase sequence.
When he first turns it on, you're like, oh, that's a jet engine.
That was great.
It's like a monster from the depths.
That was great. They got a lot of flack in the beginning when the photos of that first popped up because everybody's like, oh, that's not a Batmobile. I was like, dude, this is like year one. He's just starting out. Yeah. He doesn't have Lucius Fox there to build it for him.
But even his armor reflects that. It's kind of like the kind of stuff that you would, and go to a store and just kind of put some stuff on and look tough.
And we're not spoiling anything because a big sequence, a big part of that is in the trailers.
So, all right. Well, that's our real ratings, guys. Obviously, we love the movie. We think you'll love it. Obviously, if you go watch it at a theater, make sure you hit up the Alamo Draft House. No matter where you live, guys, it's a great place. Good food, good fun, good service. Good all-around experience. And if you guys happen to be in Las Cruces, New Mexico, make sure you check out Zia Comics. We took our tour here. It's the first time I've ever been here, and I was mesmerized. I could have been here for an hour. So
yes, it's a comic book lover's land here. You got a little bit of for everybody.
Nerdvana.
Yes, Nerdvana. There
and also, don't forget, you have a YouTube channel as well, right? Can you go ahead and talk to them about that?
YouTube/Zia Comics. We do a lot of nerdy type stuff on there, interviews, unboxings, and what have you. So, check that out.
Check that out, absolutely. Subscribe. Yes. Don't forget to leave a comment down below. Let us know what you think about The Batman, how it compares to the other Batman films. We'd love to know your opinion. And also, look us up on social media. We're on Facebook and TikTok, Real Screeners, and Instagram, Real.Screeners.
And as we always ask, guys, if you like our content, please subscribe to the channel. Hit that like button so that the YouTube algorithm gods will get this in our content. Our other videos out in front of everyone else's eyes. So thank you so much for tuning in. Also hit that like button so that you know every time we upload a video. The last thing I'm gonna plug, because we've gotta plug our store, you can find original movie mashup merch on realscreeners.com, such as this awesome The Dark Matrix shirt, if you guys can see it right there. So definitely check that out, guys. And of course, look us up again on YouTube for our next real take on movies.